Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The American people don't know what's best for them. I do. I know exactly what they need. They're like little children, Claire. We have to hold their sticky fingers and wipe their filthy mouths. Teach them right from wrong. Tell them what to think and how to feel and what to want. They even need help writing their wildest dreams, crafting their worst fears. Lucky for them, they have me.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello there, I'm Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan. Joining me, Bahir Yusuf. We're reviewing House of Cards Season 5. The Underwoods are back in the age of Trump. It's going to be the first season.
This seems weird.
In the age of Trump, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird watching House of Cards, watching HBO's Veep. In the age of Trump, just feels really weird.
Yeah, it's okay, so it's 5 seasons in. And here's the thing about House of Cards. I know a lot of people who've actually abandoned the show. So I think they loved season 1, and then season 2 was exceptional. Mm. They kind of lost interest in season 3 and 4 because, you know, by that point, Frank had become president.
Yeah.
And so it felt like he had reached the top of the ladder. And yeah, I think people left and just didn't come back. For me, what's interesting about House of Cards season 5 is coming back to it after such a long break, I forgot what a high quality this show was. I mean, the show is of a supreme quality, from production value to music to the way it's shot to the scripting to the dialogue. Yeah. Everything is of such a high quality that to critique it will be to nitpick.
Yeah. We were talking about it earlier, how the opening shot, the opening sequence, rather, of the 5th season is just a wave of emotion, of energy, of strength from Kevin Spacey's character, you know, as he just sort of stands up to essentially the established government that he's essentially leading. He's leading one arm of. The production values is almost of a level you don't see anymore. The locations they go to, but then again, you're also just reminded of how tight that script is and how well written every piece of dialogue is.
That opening shot in the first episode of season 5 is an exercise in great drama.
Yes.
It takes place over, what, about 5 minutes?
Something, yeah.
And he walks onto the floor of the house, and there are these incredible political machinations that happen within that short period of time in which he takes the floor to speak.
Yeah.
And then he just does the most Frank Underwood thing, which is completely subvert the situation and make it all about him.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's an amazing piece of writing.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. And I forgot how much I actually love this show. Now, a lot has changed in the show. Bo Willimon, who is the showrunner, has left.
Yeah, he was a show creator as well.
He was a show creator as well. It's been taken over by Melissa James Gibson and Frank Puglisi. But, you know, the show is still as... Really, it's as smart and barbed and menacing as ever. You know, the irony being that last season, there was so much criticism towards the show because Frank Underwood was going through an election cycle and he had picked Claire, his wife, as his running mate to be vice president. Because there's one thing we learn from watching this TV show is that they're both as ambitious as the other.
Yeah.
They're both as mercenary and vicious as the other. And, you know, I for one, just wanted to love to see that dynamic between president and vice president being husband and wife.
Yeah.
Now people were like, oh my God, I jumped the shark. The American people will never stand for family being vice president, la-di-da-di-da. And then fast forward, we're living in the age of Trump where family is everything.
Yeah, yeah. When he's literally built a job title for both
Ivanka and Jared.
Yeah, so I think that's really come round full circle. And I think this season is turning out quite interestingly because I think we're both round about the same episode into the season. And
we're about halfway through.
And it's looking quite interesting with regards to Claire and Frank Underwood, right? That political relationship may not be as straightforward as we think.
And Robin Wright's just incredible.
Right? Every episode, I just fall more and more deeply in love with her. And although I know she can bite my head off.
Yeah, she's evil. She's all evil. And here's the thing which I could never put my finger on, especially given the American political situation at the moment. Why do we root for the Underwoods? You see, they're not your traditional protagonists. They're conniving, manipulative, awful human beings.
You know
what
it is?
They murder without even blinking.
Without blinking an eye.
In the last season, at the end of season four, we watched them witness a beheading.
Yes.
And they have zero emotion on their face.
There's a... I can't remember the journalist's name, the one that's essentially writing for Claire Underwood. In this season, I think episode 2 or episode 3, he says something like, we were all in that room and I was looking at you and I didn't see a thing from you.
Yeah, did you feel anything?
I was just like, oh man. And you know what it is though? And you're right, they're conniving, they're dirty, they're murderers, all those things.
All of it.
But you know what? They're fun. I think that's what it is.
Is that what the Trumps lack?
Yeah, absolutely. The Trumps lacked charisma, lacked fun, right? So, like, there's some...
And you know what else?
Yeah.
They're smart.
They're smart, absolutely, right?
And I think that's something that's lacking in the Trump administration as well. Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting thing. You admire their intellect and viciousness.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something about the first season as well, when you sort of first see that they will literally do anything and how... The marriage between Frank Underwood and Claire Underwood is essentially a marriage of convenience. So, sure, they love each other.
They love each other, but it's a kind of twisted love.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, right? And I think it's that is what sort of really gives them that drive for political power. And I think that sort of really solidified her thing about, you know what, maybe I'm not just Frank's wife. I want to be my own thing as well.
And there's a line in this series as well where she goes, I was never cut out just to be the first lady.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She wants more.
She wanted more, yeah, yeah. And I think that how that turns around in this season will be very interesting.
The other reason why I think we like the Underwoods so much, or why we actually root for them, is because of that very clever device of breaking the fourth wall.
Yes.
So in the very first season, in the very first episode, Frank kills a dog in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
It's the opening to the show.
It's the opening sequence of the show.
And he's kind of looking at you and talking to you throughout the whole thing. And that immediately makes you complicit in his crime.
Yes.
And throughout the whole series, you, the viewer, are complicit in all his naughtiness.
Yeah.
Because he's told you. He hasn't told anybody else.
Yeah.
But he's told you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And therefore, you feel a part of the crime as well. I think that goes a long way to making you root for this bad guy.
Yeah. And it's also like, making it complicit, I think, is very interesting because you just see him do what is a very, very difficult, borderline heinous crime. But you're still watching the show. You haven't turned it off,
right? You haven't turned it off. You're not disgusted.
So you're not disgusted by it. You're still there with him as he does all these things and as he explains to you why he's doing all these things. And you're still there. So you're right. You, the audience, are absolutely complicit with him, with everything that he's done.
And I think that goes a long way to making you root for these characters, awful, awful individuals. I don't know. Is House of Cards uncool? Is it still cool?
I don't care.
People don't talk about it as much.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care anyway.
I'm watching.
I think it's cool. I'm watching.
I'm still binging that thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, all the more in this age of Trump.
Yeah.
It just feels... And it's not like, say, The Handmaid's Tale.
No,
or American Gods, which is very of the moment.
It's
speaking to this era, right? This one doesn't feel like it's speaking to this era because there is a sense that it is fiction that's rooted in the political machinations and reality of Washington.
Yeah.
That being said, given how strange reality is right now, this fiction seems almost like an escape. Whatever said and done, however vicious and evil Frank Underwood is, he's at least being honest to me.
Yeah, that's true.
The viewer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's something which has the most value for House of Cards right now. Because when he talks to me, I'm not being lied to. And yet, all of the politicians in real life are lying to you on camera constantly.
Constantly, yeah, yeah.
And Frank Underwood is the only honest guy out there. Yeah. And that's, I think, the most jarring thing from watching season 5 of House of Cards.
I think also the other thing as well is that there's... I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about it being smart, about the characters being smart. They're not... again, we're all just sort of making assumptions here with regards to what's happening in the actual White House. But what's happening in this White House, in the Underwood White House, there's a certain level of... I like it when Frank Underwood sort of pulls all these legislative... loopholes that he gets out, right? So he starts pulling all these...
They must have a great research team on their writing stuff, right?
Strong research team. And it just shows that they know the machinery, right? It's not just, I'm the president, I'm doing this thing. It's like, okay, how do I get around the Speaker of the House? How do I get around this particular Senate movement? How do I do this? And that, to me, that process always seems very attractive to me. I like that idea. And I think... And seeing... character president being able to pull these things out just seems like, oh, okay, this guy knows what he's doing, right? No, give him the codes. It's fine. I'm cool with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were just saying that after each episode of House of Cards, you need to go and watch an episode of The West Wing.
Yeah, because I just feel so dirty.
I know, right? You need to watch The West Wing to clean yourself up.
Yeah, I just need to watch like an Aaron Sorkin hopeful thing, right? Like a Christmas the Christmas episode or, you know, or like Indians in the Lobby, where even though the story doesn't have a great ending, you know they tried, you know, and just feels, you feel okay. Feels
they
good.
Tried to do something good.
Yeah, but it doesn't quite work out. So it's okay, but they tried to do something good. Yeah.
I've realized, Bahir, that we've been talking about this for a while now, and we actually haven't mentioned anything about the plot.
No, we haven't.
Of season 5, and we can't.
We can't. I mean,
we can't. One, it's too complex because there are about 17 threads in every single episode.
Yeah.
And secondly, almost anything I could say is a spoiler.
Yeah.
Because that is just how House of Cards works. You don't want any moment to be ruined because there's a dramatic turn at almost every episode.
Yes.
You can't go wrong with the production value. The music is still phenomenally just disconcerting.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe this music. It just makes me feel ill at ease.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen season 5, when you do go watch season 5 and you put on the first episode, let the opening theme song play. Don't skip it.
Don't skip it.
Because that will set you up for the season, you know. And it is disconcerting. It raises your anxiety a little bit. It's almost like, okay, what's going to happen now? And honestly, if you're a fan of House of Cards, there's nothing we can tell you that other than season 5 is back.
It's back. Yeah. Go watch it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. And actually, you know, if you've left the show, I think come back to it.
Come back to it, yeah.
I forgot how much I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
It was the first Netflix original series, right?
I think it was the first, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they bought in Lilyhammer, I think they bought in.
They bought in Lilyhammer. So this was their first original.
First original.
And I think it stood the test of time. Yeah. I think the writers have done a great job in kind of bringing it in with the current line of politics that's happening in America and the rest of the world. You're not going to be disappointed. Yeah. It's great soapy drama. House of Cards is streaming on Netflix right now, actually. So go check it out, season 5. But of course, seasons 1 through 4 are also available. So if you haven't started the series, I strongly urge you to watch it. It's great. If you do, if you are a big House of Cards fan, let us know what you think. I'm on Twitter at Uma Pagan.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!